Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuroqueerness. Today I have my friend X back on the podcast. Welcome back, X.
Nice to be back.
We are going to talk about the shooter trope, the quiet kid turned school shooter trope. It's so problematic. To start out this episode, I'm going to talk about an experience I had when I first realized that this was a thing.
Because you didn't know it was a thing.
Because I didn't know it was a thing, of course. Because for me, that was just, like, existing.
but without a gun. Thankfully.
Without a gun and without, like, these thoughts. I didn't know people thought I had these kind of thoughts. So it was when I was in a acting class. It was actually part of a cohort that I was with for 2 years, and or 2.5 years, which is kind of like it made me a little more bothered that this would come up. I knew these people for a while, and anyways, I had done like this 2 year training with them, and we were at the very last part of this training, which was sort of an auditioning intensive, and we would go through everyone. Other people would give suggestions what they thought what type this person could play. So I had 7 classmates. Only one of them, to be fair, like, thankfully, only one of them made this suggestion, but it was a suggestion that I could play the quiet, misunderstood kid at a high school that becomes a school shooter. Yeah, that was the gist, and there wasn't even any elaboration. It was like, that was the gist of it. And I just remember that not sitting well with me.
Understandable.
Yeah, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, I mean, I guess I kind of knew why, but I guess my first thought was, like, why? The fact that I had worked with this person or been in this class with this person for 2.5 years, okay, like, yes, I am, like, more quiet and, like, I don't present like other people do. And I guess if someone doesn't know me that well yet, that might scare them or they might be unsure. But the fact that I had been in this class with this person for 2.5 years just makes me like, wow, you really, I mean, maybe they didn't think of me specifically as doing that, but just like this whole idea.
They thought you were marketable.
That's,
as that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's unfortunate because that comes from an entire culture that creates this assumption about neurodivergent people, but especially white male or people on the spectrum. If you're quiet, then you must be dangerous.
Yeah. Well, what if I play someone that's like, you could still have the shy, quiet, misunderstood part, because I could easily do that and it's an experience I've had. But then what if the person, instead of going to making the leap from like quiet kid to school shooter, like what bothered me, there's quite a leap. So what bothered me was, like, instead of that, how about this person is quiet and misunderstood and then finds their community? And then finds their passion, and then becomes, I don't know, like a meteorologist or an actor. Big passions of mine, like, or a pilot if my mom didn't say, yeah, my mom really does not want me to become a pilot, and I understand why.
She loves you. She doesn't want you to get hurt.
So
give that up to your mom.
I'll give that up to my mom. But I'm like, okay, like, I could become all these things. Like, why does it have to be... Why is it, it's like you said, like, they thought of me, oh, like, that's the type I could do. Like, that's the
character. It's marketable.
Yeah.
As a plot device in a lot of different high school films, the misunderstood kid who comes in halfway through the year, very bright, doesn't care what anyone thinks, has some very interesting and poignant political ideas, but ends up being a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire trope, and the only reason that they're introduced is to keep the plot humming along.
Mm-hmm. I see, yeah.
It's the ghost of the quiet kid in the background.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, many people see that and don't make any other observation other than, oh, this is a film, but I will decide to make this observation everywhere else in my life because I don't either know that the people I know are on the spectrum or neurodivergent, or I just don't care.
Yeah.
For an actor to decide, I'm not going to think about this person's internal life at all. I'm just going to decide this is what they are as a 2D thing. Is not a sign of a good actor.
Yeah, I agree. It's equating being shy and misunderstood with becoming a it's a big leap. Like, of course, there are some people that happen to be autistic that do happen to go down that path, but it's not because of being autistic.
the leap that people are making, although it's not correct to do this to people on the spectrum, when it comes to intelligent, white, quiet males, there is a type. A lot of privileged white men who believe they are entitled to something and they don't get it. And historically, they have tended to be the shooters. A lot of them are very bright, again, entitled. Some of them have diabetes, but no one ever mentions that as a cause of shooting. Mm-hmm. Some of them have other mental health problems that aren't being taken care of because of a broken medical system and healthcare system.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like the...
And access to guns. Mm-hmm. Not excusing what these people did at all.
Yeah.
But access to weapons without proper vetting, as well as a lack of healthcare systems in place for these people to go to, or a community of other people that they feel they can speak to, because men isolate each other, so they can't speak to, a lot of men, at least, isolate each other. They don't have other emotional connections to men. They create really toxic communities, incels being one of the most famous ones at the moment. And a lot of incels become school shooters, but we don't talk about them as incels, we talk about them as... Or as the news does about as lone wolves, as loners, as, again, shy, intelligent, isolating, very fixated.
Yeah.
And I can see how people would mistake those things for people on the spectrum, but that there's now enough information, places for people to go to understand how people on the spectrum work, what the spectrum actually means, for them not to conflate the two.
There are different kinds of autistic people, and I still see so many people that think autism means a young, white, non-speaking boy, usually a child. Like, there are people that don't even seem to be aware of autistic adults. There are people that think that, like, autism is supposed to look a certain way. My neighbor, I tell him that I'm autistic. And, I mean, he had probably already kind of noticed that I was a little shy and whatnot. But then I tell him I'm autistic, or it comes up somehow because of my podcast. And then he's like, oh, I had no idea. And then...
He thinks he's being supportive, which is sad.
He thinks he's being nice. He thinks he's being supportive. And that's just like, no, like...
Good intentions, really bad delivery.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be ashamed. You hide it well.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thanks. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You mask so well.
My stepmom one time, and I think she's learned, she was like, oh, but your autism is very mild. And I'm like,
aww.
And then, but literally, it looks mild to you from the outside, maybe. And then it's also like inferring that, oh, you're not like those autistics. I mean, I just feel like when most people see spectrum, they think of it as a line, which is a problem. And I get why people would think of it that way. Because now I know that the spectrum is like a wheel, like a chart. There's so many people, including this person and many other people that I've come across, that think of it as a line.
Is it surprising that people think of things as a binary? No. Is it incredibly limiting? Yes. People tend to describe neurodivergent people, queer people, things that they don't understand in terms of how it inconveniences them.
Yeah.
That straight line you're talking about is mildly inconveniences me, or it really inconveniences me.
Exactly.
It's not based on the individual. Are autistic people likely to be shooters? Actually, they're not. They're statistically more likely to be victims.
I agree, yeah.
They're more likely to be victims of social abuse, of bullying. And I think a lot of people, coming back to the incel point, think, oh, a lot of specifically white men, because people who make these kinds of assumptions also assume that people on the spectrum are white men, as you've mentioned. They go, oh, so all of that not being understood, emotional repression, will come out as violence. Mm. And there's precedent for this. It's a bit like watching conspiracy theorists put things together, and you can see them almost get to the next step where, like, perhaps emotionally repressed men need help. Something might be on the spectrum. Is a logic to it. And I can't, again, blame them for making these connections, but there's just one step they're not getting, and it ends up harming an enormous community of people who are completely innocent.
Yeah.
While letting a lot of other people go scot-free. True. And those people who learn scot-free are people who are not regulating guns.
Yeah.
If you want to stop shootings, you start with regulating gun control. Any other country you look at that has gun laws, I have a statistic somewhere, I don't even really want to look it up because it's depressing. The amount of shootings that happen in the US in 1 year versus, I think it's like in Australia, over 50 years.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen at all in other places, and I mean, there have been...
It happens occasionally.
Occasionally, but it's not like it happens here. And even, like, it's not something that you have to be constantly nervous and worried about.
It's ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. That's the word in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And people have assumed that that is normal, and it is not.
Yeah.
There was a really lovely article in 2015. It's behind a paywall. So we found a free version for you guys by Andrew Solomon. He wrote a book called, I think it's Far From the Tree. He is a, I believe, queer autistic person, and he went around to kids with like Down syndrome, on the spectrum, ADHD, a whole bunch of other stuff, and talked to their parents. Wrote a really lovely book. We'll also put the link to that in the show notes. And he wrote this thing called The Myth of the Autistic Shooter as an op-ed contribution, and he makes a point about how people are trying to make sense of inexplicable violence, that it's difficult to accept. Mm-hmm. So, like, as a human, you want to insert logic. You're trying to find patterns.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these myths, as they put it, about quote-unquote autistic shooters, come from the last 20 or so years of online content or discussion. There was a Yahoo chat about this mother named Laura Harper. She characterized herself and her son as having Asperger's syndrome, which is a category that is no longer in medical use. She attended a school that caters to children with special needs. And she was talking about a Facebook page called Families Against Autistic Shooters, which have links to the annoying one.
Which one? Oh,
Autism Speaks. That's what
Autism
it is.
Autism Speaks. Okay, yeah.
I know that I forgot it. That's how forgettable they should be. Quote unquote, they ranted about the soulless, dead eyes of autistic children and characterized them as cold, calculating killing machines with no regard for human life. And what do all shooters over the last few years have in common? A lack of empathy and compassion.
Oh, the classic lack of empathy trope as well. Some autistics do experience difficulties with certain types of empathy. I even have hyper empathy, and I know a lot of other autistic people have this, where you feel the emotion really strongly. Like someone is upset or someone is distressed or whatever it may be, and you're with them, and you feel that really intensely, and they'll have kind of a shutdown from that. Won't know what to say or like what to do or how to support them. Because I've like been corrected because of this in class before about when I was doing acting exercise with my partner, they start crying or something, or they have like this really emotional reaction, and I'm being perceived by the teacher, or like allegedly would be by the audience, by not like as being cold, by not like going right up to them, and the idea of however I should be empathizing with them. But like what happens with me is I feel their energy really intensely and it overwhelms me. So I shut down.
Your automatic nervous system is overstimulated.
Probably one of the things that it bothers me because it's like probably one of the things that I've been, and I know this happens to a lot of other autistic people too, but like that we get misjudged on the most is like, not is that like that people read that like us having a shutdown because we're so overwhelmed by the emotion, reading that as not having empathy. And I guess that's a whole, I don't know, because then people don't look into it. People don't look into like, okay, but like what type of like what's going on in the person's brain when this happens? And they're just like, autism means no empathy, and like they don't even, because it's not empathy in the traditional ways that we expect.
And again, we were talking about people are in a fear response, especially if they're concerned about social interactions or signifiers or behavior and shooting. They're hypervigilant anyway. They're not in a space where their brain is going to take in information that's going to allow them to process the idea that some people might look like a threat but are not.
Yeah. It surprises me that some people, like, when they associate meltdowns with like having this kind of like a violent behavior or doing a shootout or whatever, after a meltdown I don't even have energy to get out of bed sometimes.
You've talked about meltdowns before on your podcast.
Yeah.
And you've, not word for word, but you've said like you have this feeling of overwhelming like sensory whatever that's been built up to.
Yes.
And
you've tried to it's always a build up. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's not a tantrum, and you've discussed this and we've discussed this. There's a difference. And then afterwards, there's like a drop, feeling shame. Do you feel that you could do anything other than curl up and watch your favorite television show after one of those?
No, not at all. Not at all. For like 12 or 24 hours. Like, I've had meltdowns where after the meltdown, I could barely get out of bed for like an entire day. Maybe I wanted to go like to the other room and watch some TV.
You have to psych yourself up to do it.
I have to psych myself up. Like, even if I want to go get some water. So it's just...
Go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom. It's a whole thing, you know? So I'm like, how in the world am I going to plan a whole, like, mass murder thing? And I'm going to go out and, like, go execute this whole plan.
Not that you want to.
Not that I even want to. But, and it's just, like, even if I wanted to, like, which I don't. Like, I can barely get out of bed. I'm just like, what?
The absurdity of the entire situation and the misunderstanding. It's like, oh, this person had a meltdown. If a white man who is not neurodivergent is having a meltdown, you should be slightly afraid. But, being said, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk is just...
I think he's a narcissist and he's not even autistic. And even if he is, it's the least of his... That's all the time I'm ever going to give him. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah.
But I was like, you should be afraid of people like that. He says he's on the spectrum. It's probably not. And if he is, occasionally there's terrible ones. I'm sorry. There's terrible
ones. Occasionally there are. Like, there are. And
not all of us are perfect.
Not all of us are perfect. Like, there's also people that try to justify things, you know, oh, he did this because he's autistic and... But no, because... Or like autistic, like, we're all perfect. Like, we're all blue angels. No, like, you can be autistic and you can still...
Be an asshole.
Be an asshole, yeah. Like, it can go... I mean, like, unfortunately, a lot of us do get painted as assholes when we're not, but there are also people that are, like...
Genuinely
assholes, but it's, like, I don't know, it goes
diversity
both ways.
Diversity within the diversity movement. As a queer person, there's tons of queer people who are fucking horrible.
It's true, and homophobic, and transphobic, and sexist.
And terrible to, especially, like, bi erasure and all of that. So many people within the queer community, and, like, for straight people, or people who don't understand any of this, it's very similar to, not all queer people have great fashion sense. Like, it's not...
It's true, because it's a stereotype.
Very stupid analogy, but you can't expect every gay man to be yes. You know, like, you can't be...
Yeah, exactly.
That outfit. Not... Some of them are slobs, and that's fine, but they don't hurt anyone. People like Elon does. People who are autistic shooters that are mostly non-existent have other problems and make it as someone else's problem. They do exist, but they're in the minority. The overarching characteristic is that they are mostly men. Socially isolated, which can happen to autistic people, which makes sense.
Oh yeah, but it's not people because
try to make the connections, but that's not why. It's a correlation, not a causation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Much like a vaccine, you know, the whole vaccine's causes autism.
Oh god, which is another whole episode I'd like to probably do.
Very clear point of correlation versus causation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The studies that should be done are what are these people's home lives like? Are they getting mental health support? The author of that New York Times op-ed pointed out that the mother of one of the shooters who happened to be autistic said, you know, they were rumored to have been diabetic or afflicted with male pattern baldness, but no such explanations of this behavior would have surfaced. They're not going to say, oh, he was bald, so he shot down a school.
Yeah, you don't hear about that. Or.
Just jokingly, if you're an incel and you're balding and you're mad, you might be more likely to shoot down a school than anyone on the spectrum. I'm not trying to make light of this. If we're going to play by their rules, that logic makes more sense. Even that doesn't make sense.
Gosh, people, like, sometimes they get so close to figuring out what the problem is, but they miss it.
So close.
Yeah. So yeah, another thing that came to mind relates to what I was saying earlier about the shutdowns. Like, I get irritable sometimes, but
so does everyone.
So does everyone, and it's also like it's not like maybe being a little upset or maybe even, I don't know, having a big display of emotion or whatnot. It's like, not gonna leave me drained after that. It's not, it's just.
You're in the fetal position watching your favorite television show.
Yeah, I'm not plotting like this major thing or having like, I'm not even having thoughts.
You're trying to exist, not trying to cancel exist. Other people's existence.
Yeah, exactly.
Seems like a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. When you're in a situation where you just want to be in bed. Yeah, it's just such a...
It makes it so unlikely, which is our point.
Yeah.
It's not the cause.
Yeah.
The ease with which someone, even if they're on the spectrum or having a meltdown, could go or have access to a weapon in the United States. Not that they would, but say hypothetically. Mm-hmm. That is a huge part of the problem.
Yeah. And I think also this culture where there's so many violent video games. This was brought up to me, or I read about it, like, from someone else. But it made a lot of sense to me. Like, I hadn't realized originally, but, like, there's so many movies and video games that people play that are, like, really violent. It exacerbates it as well. But of course, being the access to guns on top of that, on top of the societal factors that lead all these people to be in that state.
On the point of the video game thing, because this is something that's been, again, in the last 20 years, has been something that people like to debate. You do make a good point. However, there are, again, also studies that show that people who play violent video games when they're upset are less likely, specifically men, to go out and do it. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much the video games themselves, it's the culture that informs the video games.
Yeah.
That's toxic masculinity. It's if I have an emotion, I will do this. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of video games help people not do weird shit.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I can see how it can be helpful to, like, release that energy. Yeah.
What you noticed correctly is that the culture informing these video games and a lot of these films for a man with no other emotional outlet or support system or education other than girlfriends that they end up despising or, you know, projecting onto, etc. Mm-hmm. Certain type of man, they might play that video game, they might watch that film, but the culture that informs those sorts of things that they interact with, it's not that they're wrong, it's that it upholds a certain emotional standard, which is very low. If that's their only way of learning how to interact with people, I'm not saying like they see a like monkey see monkey do, but if they're isolated, they don't know much, they don't have other people to talk to or feel they can talk to, it becomes kind of a monkey see monkey do kind of situation.
Yeah, I can see that happen.
Thing, if like you put something in front of a video game and they know nothing else, and that's all they play, of course they can be violent.
Yeah.
Because it's behavioral learning. So what you're talking about is people who know nothing else and they have no other reinforcing factors.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And that comes down to a lot of men isolating themselves and a culture of male isolation and incels, which is sad. And I'd feel sadder for them if they didn't hurt everyone around them.
Yeah.
While being in a place, a lot of them, of power or privilege and deciding to do nothing with it. It's one thing if you or anyone feels a certain way or has a trauma or is in a place of privilege but doesn't have the means or the skills or the access to help. A lot of the people now do.
Yeah.
And yet they decide to keep doing this. They keep deciding to hurt other people. True. They keep deciding to project. They keep deciding, despite the ever-expanding options.
Yeah.
That is inexcusable.
No, like, I see that. Like, how in my case, I have some privileges, and I use those to empower people and also educate people that need to be educated on those things. Like, I remember when I started my podcast, and I think it still is, like, those are the two main goals. I think it's funny because, and it's still both of these, but, like, it started out more as, like, educating neurotypicals on autism and neurodiversity. And then it became, I realized it also became about making other neurodivergent people feel more accepted and understood, but really understanding themselves even if the system around them or the people around them are failing to understand them, at least they could understand themselves. And I realized that because I started getting messages from people, from other neurodivergent people, as I started my podcast. I was like, people were like, oh, thank you so much for your podcast. Like, you make me feel seen. Like, I'm tired of masking all day at my stupid job, and I listened to your podcast, and it made me feel really good. So then I was just like, that's what it's about. Like, that's what, and I wish other people used their, like, privileged or their, like, platforms to do that as well. Sadly, that's not the case, but, you know I do, and I know a lot of other people do. So I guess that's what we have to keep striving for.
And to make this full circle, I love that you became the story that you weren't typecasted for. You found community, you created community, you became your own typecast person.
I did, yeah. And
we made the story.
I mean, I just wish that, because I know it's not just about this person. I wish that that's what the idea were. I wish, like, that's what people would think of the quiet person as. Instead of, like, oh, they're shy, they're quiet, they're gonna go be a shooter. No. How about they're shy, they're quiet, they're gonna find their community, they're gonna find their passion, they're gonna, yeah.
You becoming the character that you wish you were typecast at.
Yes, exactly, exactly, which is great.
That is excellent. And yeah. I highly commend that. We do claps.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. On that note, this was a great episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Hopefully, you were able to get a lot of useful information, and there will be links down below as well. Thank you, X, for joining me and always bringing, like, the research and your insights as well, which I always appreciate. This is our first official episode together as co-hosts of the Unpacking Neuroqueerness podcast. Yes, I had given everyone, I talked about this a little bit in, like, my previous solo episodes. X and I are gonna, like, become co-hosts, and so this is the first official episode of that. So there's a nice little historical milestone.
But I'm blushing. I am actually blushing, listeners. I'm very, very happy and excited to join occasionally. It is still Dino's App podcast, but I will occasionally come in and bother everyone. So thanks for having me in your ear holes.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone that's been following the podcast for all this time. Thank you all.